afternoon, if you'll turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Song of Solomon, chapter 1, and verse 3 is the verse I'm going to preach to you from. I want to talk to you about the fragrant ointments of our Lord Jesus Christ, which, by the way, is a fascinating study, and I hope that I'll be able to open it up sufficiently for you to benefit from it. So let's bow together for prayer before I begin with you. Lord, thank you for this time, these precious times around your word. Lord Jesus, where you are revealed to us in the scriptures, where God is glorified in us in receiving this word, where we can benefit by it eternally to our souls, that you will speak to our hearts and show us our devotion can deepen to you. May it be so this afternoon. May you come and work in every heart present. May you help us to understand the greatness of the salvation which we have in Christ in relation to his ointments. For we pray and ask this in your blessed name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. Because of the fragrance of your good ointments, your name is ointment poured forth. Therefore the virgins love you. And verse 4 at the beginning says, we will run after you. Well, it's been some time now since I've preached you from this book, so let me give you a little review. This book is speaking of the spiritual, marital, love relationship which exists between Christ and his church. He is the bride and he is the bridegroom. And this relationship of marriage between a man and a woman is expressly spoken of in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 32 as a mystery. And there are spiritual realities that the relationship of marriage shows forth, and this relationship between Christ and the church is shown forth, well pictured by an earthly marriage relationship. So when a couple comes to see how important their faithfulness is to one another, how it pictures the love of Christ and his church, then they live this out in their relationship, and it's a good witness to people around them. A good marital relationship preaches the gospel to people in picture form, to those who are looking on at their life. Well, in this message, I want to speak to you about one of the great reasons that Christ's virgins love him. Specifically, we're told here in verse 3, it's because of the fragrance of his good ointments. So we need to ask ourselves a couple of questions then. First of all, who are these virgins and what are the ointments which they are so pleased with? Well, we are told here that the virgins are those who love Christ, and as such, the virgins represent believers in Jesus Christ. I've told you this before, but I want you to understand that you and I are betrothed to Christ. If we are a Christian, we are betrothed to him. We are legally married to him spiritually, even though the relationship has not yet been consummated. The Apostle Paul spoke of this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2, when he said, "For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." So if you have believed in Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul, for the forgiveness of your sins, you are betrothed to him. You're married to him already, spiritually, and he is your husband, even though for now you do not see him. When you do see him, the spiritual marriage will be consummated. By faith, you know that you're going to see the Lord Jesus someday, face to face, along with billions of other people. And yet, all of these are all chaste virgins in the sight of God because of Christ's work. Those who hold fast to the truth of the gospel and His word. They're attempting to be faithful to Him in their personal, private, and public relationship with Him. In each of these aspects of our relationship with Him as believers, He's expecting that by His grace that you and I will be found faithful. So these good ointments represent the manifold graces of Christ, which come to us through the working of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit ministers to the believer's heart in many ways, but His influences are realized by us as the sweet fragrance of ointment poured forth. They are called Christ's good ointments because of all the various graces of the Holy Spirit which are given to the believer and come to him by the Holy Spirit, because Christ was anointed above his fellows, that is, above all other men, with grace to accomplish salvation on their behalf. And I want you to turn with me over to Psalm 45, and you'll see this. Psalm 45 is written in much the same style as the Song of Solomon is, just like the virgins of our text, the sons of Korah, who wrote this psalm, were overflowing with an eagerness to tell others about the grace of their king. It's not simply David that they are speaking of in such glowing terms here. It's also and much more the King of Glory, the future Messiah, whom they are speaking of. My heart, it says in verse 1, is overflowing with a good theme. I recite my composition concerning the King. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. You are fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured out upon your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever. So we can see here that the anointing of the Lord Jesus was a very special anointing. He was filled with the Spirit to accomplish his task as a man. It's not as though he wasn't God also. But as a man, he realized his utter dependence upon the Spirit for the things that he did and accomplished. And he understood that he was trying to please the Father in everything that he did. Part of the task of the Lord Jesus was his preaching and teaching the very Word of God to the people of his day so they would come to know that he himself was and is the Christ, the Anointed One of God. Grace was poured out upon his lips by the Spirit so that his words had an appeal. They had an appealing fragrance to the listener whose mind and heart was also being touched by the Spirit's working and his illumination. Christ's words were spiritual words, and they had spiritual life in them when he spoke them. Never a man spoke as this man, said the temple guards, who came back empty-handed when they'd been instructed to take the Lord Jesus as their prisoner. His words had a power accompanying them to change the heart and life of the listener, and they still do, by the way, today. Now look at verse 6 of Psalm 45. It says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. All your garments are scented with myrrh and aloes, and cassia." So you can see from this verse that not only was Jesus perfect in his words as a man, but that he was perfect in every other aspect of his righteousness as a man, because the anointing of God was upon him. His oils had a pleasing fragrance. He was, and he is, a king who wields the scepter of truth and justice righteously. He rules men righteously in the fear of the Lord. His good works and His love for men's souls was and it is perfect in every sense. And He was clothed in this righteousness, and all of His works and words had a good and appealing fragrance to them, even as they are pictured for us here. I'm saying they were received that way to people in whose hearts the Holy Spirit was working. Otherwise, they were not received that way. But it says His garments had the scent of myrrh and aloes and cassia. That is, His obedience and His perfect righteousness were very pleasing to God the Father. And as it says in Ephesians 5, verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. So myrrh was one of the gifts that was brought to the Lord Jesus by the wise men when they came to visit Him. It was one of the spices that was used by Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea when they prepared His body for burial. It's a fit emblem of His sufferings, having a good savor to God. When His atonement was finished, His sacrifice was accepted by God the Father. There wasn't any stench of death there. There was only fragrance of life. And His body did not decay. And His grace was always lively and powerful all the time of His earthly ministry. So aloes are something, by the way, that was used also in Christ's burial preparation. John Brown says in his dictionary that the graces of the Holy Spirit in Christ and His people are likened to aloes because of their agreeable savor, their tendency to prevent or purge away sinful corruption and to keep their subjects forever fresh and sound. Brown says concerning cassia, the fragrant cassia, which is said to have been the bark of the tree, was one of the sweet spices from which the anointing oil was extracted and was sometimes used to perfume garments. It signified the savory and medicinal graces of the Holy Spirit. So the ointments of our text are good ointments, which produce a sweet smell, and they are healing and strengthening to help men spiritually. These ointments were also used as a preservative to embalm bodies and to help people feel stronger and better physically. They are fit emblems of the work of the Spirit now for believers in Christ. The Holy Spirit's work was first of all to anoint the Lord Jesus so that He would fully accomplish the work of His ministry, that of living a perfectly righteous life. And then He would lead Him to the cross to suffer there and die for all who would believe in Him. And then upon Christ's resurrection and ascension, He would be sent to minister Christ's grace to all believers so that they would know the reality of all of His good spiritual blessings. The good fragrance of Christ's grace would help them on to know Him, to love Him, and to obey Him. His anointing would then be upon them so that they would be changed and transformed by His grace working in their hearts. So having known the power of the fragrance of His life, then their lives and behavior would then reflect what they had received and experienced. We too, knowing Christ in this way, will manifest the fragrance of Christ to others. You'll see this if you'll turn over with me to Exodus chapter 30. Exodus chapter 30 and verse 22. Moreover, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, also take for yourself quality spices, 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, half as much sweet-smelling cinnamon, 250 shekels of sweet-smelling cane, 500 shekels of cassia, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and a hin of olive oil. And you shall make from these a holy anointing oil, an ointment compounded according to the art of the perfumer. It shall be an anointing oil, and with it you shall anoint the tabernacle of meeting and the ark of the testimony, the table and all its utensils, the lampstand and its utensils, the ark of the altar of incense, the altar of the burnt offering with all of its utensils, and the laver and its base. You shall consecrate them that they may be most holy. Whatever touches them must be holy. And you shall anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them that they may minister to me as priests. And you shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, this shall be a holy anointing oil to me throughout your generations. So you see from these verses that the consecration of the priest was done by applying to them this holy anointing oil. And we read that it was an ointment compounded according to the art of the perfumer. It was not used for just any persons. It was used for those who were consecrated for the service to God as priests. It was very applicable to Christ, our high priest. And furthermore, it's very applicable because of him to us who have been made kings and priests to our God through him. I like what Thomas Robinson, the commentator, says in his commentary about this. He says, all of Christ's mediatorial garments were thus made to smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia, by which he was made glad, Psalm 45, verse 8. His human nature was thus made full of all excellence and sweetness, and Christ was fully endowed with all the virtues that can either adorn the character or that can render a man lovely and attractive in himself and a benefactor and a blessing to his fellow men. All the excellencies and charms that can either beautify or exalt humanity are found in him in their combination and perfection. Graces and virtues, apparently contradictory and exclusive of each other, are found beautifully harmonized in his character. This was symbolized by the holy anointing oil composed of the various ingredients. Loftiest wisdom combined in Jesus with childlike simplicity, awe-inspiring dignity with meekness and humility, inflexible justice with tenderest compassion, spotless holiness with sweet affability, abhorrence of sin with pity and love to the sinner. The gospel, he says, is an exhibition of the good ointments of Jesus Christ. And we might add that the Holy Spirit and his grace are the anointing of the Christian. This anointing teaches him these precious attitudes of righteousness and holiness. These attitudes are noticed and observed in the lives of Christians by others who are not righteous or holy, and thus a good witness is born. If you'll turn with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, you'll see this. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, the Apostle Paul says, now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not, as so many, peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God we speak in the sight of God in Christ. So you see here that this is the fragrance of Christ's good ointments, which we are given in our own anointing and working of the Holy Spirit. So then it's Christ's grace that is seen in our attitudes, in all of the fruit of the Spirit, in our words and our actions, which other people who do not know Christ smell, by the way. They're either drawn or they are repulsed by it. The object is to present Christ through our lives as sweet, spiced perfume, and then pray the good Lord will do his gracious work through it. Now, second, we need to ask this question. Why is his name as an ointment poured forth? The answer to this is found in Mark chapter 14 and verse 3. If you'll turn with me there, Mark chapter 14 and verse 3. It says here we have a good physical representation of the words, his name is ointment poured forth. It says, and being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard, and then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves, and they said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me you do not always have. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what she has done will be told as a memorial to her. So we should be able to see from this as the picture, this is a picture of what Christ would do in his death. God would make his soul an offering for sin, it says in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 10. And because of these sufferings, it says in Isaiah 53:12 that God would divide him a portion with the great, and he would divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death. Notice the picture language, pouring his soul out unto death. So the Lord Jesus then, as he was anointed by the Spirit for this awesome task of going to the cross, was well pictured by this woman taking the alabaster flask and breaking it and pouring it over his head. She did what she did to diffuse the fragrance of Christ, his work and the grace that was given to him and which was working in him. She poured this out as an emblem of his being broken at the cross and being poured out in his death. So we can think of the name of Jesus as ointment poured forth because he was broken for us. And because he was poured out, his grace is now poured forth. And there on the cross, his body was given. It was broken for you. His blood, that ointment which saves us and heals us of all of our diseases of sin, was poured out for you if you believe in him. So when the soldier took his spear in John chapter 19 and drove it into Jesus' side, up under his ribs and into his heart, blood and water poured forth, John says in John 19:34 and 35. And the merits of these wounds spiritually poured out are an ointment which he gives to you by the Holy Spirit to help, to bring help to you and to bring healing. When you believe in the Lord Jesus, the love of God is poured out in your heart by the Holy Spirit, and he himself is given to you forever, that his gracious influences will come to your heart time and time again, being poured out into your soul. And thereby, you become an earthen vessel with a precious treasure of Christ's ointments filling your heart. On the day of Pentecost, you remember the disciples got to experience the reality of this ointment being poured forth when the Holy Spirit descended upon them, and Peter preached the gospel powerfully to them in Acts 2:15. And during his sermon, he explained the experience of the Spirit's baptism in this way to the people who gathered there, who thought that they were drunk. He said, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days. So this was the ointment poured forth. And in verse 33, after telling them that Jesus had been raised from the dead, Peter said, "Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this, which you now see and hear." And then he says in verse 38, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So truly, Christ's name is ointment poured forth. And so we need to ask ourselves in closing, have I personally come to know the precious name of Jesus? Do I know His name as ointment poured forth? And if so, what are you personally doing then to diffuse the fragrance of His blessed name? His name is ointment poured forth to you because you, as one of His virgins, will love Him in this way. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this passage. And we pray thanking you for what the Holy Spirit does in our lives, what He has done and what He is doing and what He will do in the anointing which we have received from Him. May the good ointments of Christ be diffused by us to people around us. May they smell the fragrance of Christ. And may they be strengthened to believe in the Word of God. May their eyes be opened to the truth of your goodness and mercy and greatness and glory. And may we, together as a church, be this kind of witness as well to this community, pouring out what we have received upon people and sharing the truth with them and doing good works in relation to them so that we might see others touched by the ministry which you have through us by the Holy Spirit. For we pray and we ask it in your blessed name, Lord Jesus. Amen.